Oh Lord, would you open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your word? Would you open our eyes to behold you, Lord Jesus? Would you open our hearts to receive you anew today? Would you soften our wills that we might give ourselves to you more joyfully today? Holy Spirit, would you speak to us this morning? Would you stir our hearts and be glorified in us? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Christian life is about learning how to die. Christianity is not a self-improvement project. It is a death and resurrection. It is not a crutch for us. It is a heart transplant. We're not here for a smile and a warm, fuzzy feeling, but to become a new creation. The Lord doesn't just want 10 steps to a better you. He wants you. He doesn't just want you to give up things for Lent. He wants you to give up yourself. Christian life is about learning how to die. And I'm not talking here about our physical death, but a spiritual death. But it is worth mentioning that the more we learn how to die spiritually, day by day, the more we're going to be prepared to die physically. That's another conversation for another time. But I want to explore this aspect of the Christian life through our Old Testament lesson in Genesis 22. We're going to look at this text in three movements. First, through the lens of Isaac, then through Jesus, and then to us. And just as a side note, this is how we always need to be doing biblical interpretation. We always look through the lens of Jesus before we apply these stories, these texts, to ourselves. Because the Bible is not about you, it's about Jesus. The Bible is for you, but it's about Jesus, and we have to read it through the lens of who it's about. So before we ask how these texts are going to apply to our lives, we've got to look at them and ask what it is they're telling us about Jesus. Then we can ask, what is God saying to me through this about my life? We're invited into the stories, but only ever through Jesus. So, we come to Genesis 22. One of the most fascinating stories in the whole Bible. One of the most troubling stories in the whole Bible, too. I'm guessing that many of us have a lot of questions about this passage. We're not going to get to them all today. But I do want to encourage you to ask the tough questions of Scripture, to wrestle with them, to wrestle with the Lord through them. But as we come to Genesis 22, there are many, many layers to this passage we can work through. We could probably preach a whole sermon series on this. Maybe I will someday. But today I want to focus on the more commonly held Jewish interpretation of this passage, which considers more of the perspective of Isaac, Abraham's son. Whereas a lot of Christian, our Bibles will head in this way, our Christian teaching will designate this passage and call it the testing of Abraham or something like that. More commonly in the Jewish thought and theology, this is known as the binding of Isaac. And the word that it's called is the Akedah. Akedah is the Hebrew word for binding. So when Jews come to Genesis 22, they call it the Akedah. And the emphasis is not just on Abraham and the testing that is put to him, but it's on Isaac as well, as someone who went willingly to become the sacrifice out of love for God. And faithful Jewish homes and in synagogues, the Akedah is read daily at morning prayer. And it's one of the main readings at Rosh Hashanah, which is one of the main festivals of the Jewish year. The Akedah has become, over the generations, such a deep part of the Jewish people's understanding of themselves and their identity, as it's an example of self-sacrifice and obedience to God's will, as well as it's become the symbol of Jewish martyrdom. For an example of this, did you know that the word Holocaust comes from this passage? When God calls Abraham in verse 2, he says, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a holocaust." A holocaust is the Hebrew word for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And this became part of the way that the Jewish people tried to make sense of the horrors committed against them in the 20th century, that they themselves were a burnt offering unto the Lord. But here the Lord asks Abraham to give his son, his only son, Isaac, whom he loves, as a burnt offering sacrifice, as a holocaust. And it's worth us mentioning, Isaac is not a boy in this story, as a lot of our children's Bibles seem to indicate. But some Jewish traditions say that Isaac was as old as 37. And the text doesn't give us enough clues, but the best guesses are that he was somewhere between a late teenager and a full-grown, almost middle-aged man. But Isaac was not a passive participant in this event. At a certain point, it becomes clear that there's no lamb for the sacrifice. And as they get higher up, it becomes clear to Isaac that he is intended to be the one killed on the altar. And even though Abraham spoke prophetically, he declared that God will provide for himself the lamb, this prophecy is only actually ever fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Because Abraham declares prophetically, God will provide the lamb. And what comes out of the thistles is a ram. Prophecy left unfulfilled. But whatever it was, whether it was that Isaac believed his father's prophetic promise that God would provide for himself the lamb, or he had the same faith that Hebrews tell us his father had, that God would not renege on his promise that would be brought about through Isaac, so that if God was telling Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, then he must be resurrected. That's what Hebrews says about why Abraham came. We don't know what Isaac himself was thinking as he walked up that hill, but we know that he went with his father up Moriah's hill, carrying the wood of his own death in his arms. And there is a midrash, which is a rabbinic tradition of Bible interpretation that the Jews view as authoritative. The midrash elaborates on it like this, quote, "When Abraham sought to bind his son, Isaac said to him, 'Father, I am a young man, and I'm concerned that my body will tremble due to fear of the knife, and I will thereby upset you. Or perhaps the slaughter will be rendered unfit, and it will not be counted for you as a valid offering. Therefore, bind me tighter.'" "Bind me tighter," Isaac says, "so that I won't impulsively squirm away and disrupt the sacrifice in any way. Make sure to tie me down securely so that I cannot move. Bind me tighter so that I might be a fitting sacrifice," Isaac says. Think of the love for God and the love for his father that's behind that ask. Think of the faith that is behind the willingness to be a sacrifice, even if he doesn't understand fully. Isaac is the sacrifice that God is calling Abraham to give. And Isaac himself desires to become a fitting sacrifice. Now, the idea of sacrifice is to give yourself for something bigger than yourself. To pay a cost for something of much greater value. We talk about sacrifice and we think about those who heroically fight and die in wars. We say they sacrifice themselves for their country. They sacrifice themselves for democracy. Is there anything or anyone you love so much that you would be willing to sacrifice your life for? I'd like to think that I would die for my family in a heartbeat, that there wouldn't be any question in my mind because of the love I have for them. I haven't been tested in that yet, fortunately. But sacrifice must be rooted in love and in faith. Love that is willing to pursue the blessing of another, even at cost to yourself, and faith that your sacrifice will be worth it. Faith that there is something worth giving everything for. When Isaac says to his father, "Bind me tighter," it comes from love for God and love for his father, and that faith that his sacrifice will be worth it. Now, think of that other man who climbed Moriah's hill, bearing the wood of his own death, willingly going to be the sacrifice. The lamb that God provided for himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior, giving it all for what? For your sake, for the world's sake. To Jesus, you are worth giving everything for. Out of love for you, Jesus said, "Bind me tighter." And think of the Father, the one who did not spare his own son, his only son, the one whom he loves, Romans 8 tells us. He did not spare his own son in order that we might be saved, that we might dwell inseparably with him. Think of the Father's sacrifice for you. The Father and the Son together climbing that hill to provide the lamb that will be the sacrifice to save the whole world. Jesus thought of you and he said, "Bind me tighter." And now, the same man who gave up his life on the cross calls us who follow him to take up our own cross. The Lord Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me," he means if you would be my disciples, if you would live like me, if you would be with me, "let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will end up losing it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." Jesus is inviting us to walk in the way of the cross with him. And what that means is a death to what we've known before. A death to the old man, the old woman, a death to sin, in order to come into the resurrection life that he has for us. To pick up your cross day by day is not just about bearing the burdens of daily life, as we sometimes say, "Well, this is just my cross to bear." But it's about all of you being crucified with Christ, so that it's no longer just you who live, but Christ who lives in you. This is what Jesus is inviting you into as you follow him. And the assurance is that the sacrifice is worth it. If we follow Jesus, on the other side of this death is resurrection, is new life, abundant life, eternal life that is available to us here and now. But there's only one way to get there. It's the way of the cross. Being crucified with him as we lay down our own lives on his altar. And we cannot get to eternal life without first laying down our lives. We cannot try to select it as an add-on to the life we already have. It's only ever death that leads to resurrection. This is what the Lord Jesus was expressing in John 12 when he said, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." I love this imagery Jesus brings here. Because so many of us, myself included, we expend a lot of effort as seeds who are trying and striving to grow fruit out of ourselves, not realizing that what we really need is to surrender and to die to ourselves. Again, this is not a self-improvement project, but it is a death and resurrection we are after here. So I say to us again, the Christian life is about learning how to die, how to be crucified with Christ, how to pick up our cross day by day and become a living sacrifice for his sake, and to know that he is worth it. And so as we come to the altar, as we come to lay down our own lives, may the prayer of our hearts be, "Bind me tighter, Lord. Bind me tighter. I want to be a living sacrifice for you, my God. I want to be crucified with Christ because I know that in you is the fullness of life, the fullness of joy, and only in your presence can I be satisfied." To say to him, I'm tired of this old flesh squirming off the altar of sacrifice. So bind me to the cross, Jesus. Bind me tighter so that I can follow you more fully and live into the new life you have for me more fully. Bind me tighter, Lord. Because we know that God, in his mercy, has bound himself to us. I love that we get to read this week Romans 8, Paul's beautiful crescendo, where he proclaims that nothing, neither death nor life, angels nor rulers, things present, things to come, nor height nor depth, nor anything in all creation can ever separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's not because of the strength of our faith that nothing can separate us. It's because he has bound us to him. Because his love is stronger than death, stronger than anything else in all creation. He has bound himself to us and will never let us go. When we are united with Christ in death and in resurrection, we have that assurance that God will never let us go. That he has us in his grip, and there is nothing stronger than him. He has bound himself to us, and our call is to bind ourselves to him. So, here's the invitation for us today. If you are so moved, would you make this your prayer today? As you come up to the altar for communion, as you kneel at the rail, this is not only a time for us to receive Jesus' sacrifice for you, but it's for you to offer yourself as a sacrifice unto him. And when sacrifice meets sacrifice, a miracle happens in this place. But I want to encourage you this day. If your heart is in a place of love for God, of faith in his goodness, and desiring more of him, would you ask your Father to bind you tighter? To give you that grace to die to your old self, that you might be raised anew in Christ. And this might mean for you repenting of sin and asking forgiveness. It might mean for you changing up some lifestyle patterns that are more in line with the world than they are with the kingdom of God. It might mean giving up some things in order to gain everything. But to know that it's worth it. Bind me tighter, Lord, in order that I might learn how to die and be raised with you. So that's my encouragement and invitation for us today. Would you make that your prayer? And if you're not there, that's not the step for you today, that's okay. But we must know what it is that we're here for. We need to know what this Christian faith is all about. Uniting ourselves to Jesus in his death is the only way to know his resurrection. As we learn how to die to the world, the flesh, and the devil, we will know the joy of the Lord. We will know the glory of eternity here in us, here and now. We will know the freedom of the Lord more and more. Bind me tighter, Lord. And so, Lord, we do make that our prayer today. We come to you grateful for your word, your spirit that speaks it to our hearts. And we ask that you would make of us a living sacrifice, a worthy sacrifice. We don't come because of how holy we are and how good we are, how righteous we are on our own merits. We come because you and your mercy have invited us. And you and your mercy have given yourself for our sake to make us a perfect sacrifice. So Lord, bind us tighter to you. Bind us more tightly to your cross, that we might experience in you our death and your abundant life. For your glory we pray. Amen.